Miss Shepherd, reel 8.
Well, then, of course, it was automatic that most of us, well, our corps then gradually disbanded, you see. I don't know what became of the fragments. All I know is they called for drivers, and the drivers had to have RAC certificates because they wanted mechanics. So then I had to go to a school for mechanics and driving, and under the auspices of the RAC, Royal Automobile Club. And one of the tests was in Pall Mall. I'm tickled to death at that. I had a puncture in Pall Mall, you see, in Pall Mall. I had to do that, change a tyre.
Well, before you tell me about the wax, while you were still with the Women's Emergency Corps, you said that there were Zeppelin raids.
That was night time, you see, always night time.
Yes, and during the day
The day I was driving munitions,
yes,
for the War Office, you see. Then we had air raids. And once, in going along Kingsway, I was going to Silvertown with a load of stuff. And going along Kingsway, there were two huge army lorries in front of me. I didn't know what they were. But I went along with them. And, of course, we had a very, very, very heavy... Well, there were dozens of planes coming over, Germans. And I'd been going quite a lot that morning, and I thought, oh, I don't know, I'm going to stop here in Holborn and have a cup of tea. So I stopped and had a cup of tea. Of course, I learnt afterwards the lorries in front of me were filled with munition, with ammunition. But anyhow, when I got down to Silvertown, where I was going, the houses and everything was just like packs of cards. So that cup of tea, if I hadn't stopped for that cup of tea, I shouldn't be here. It was just one of the things that you took in your stride, you see. And so I kept up with the driving. Oh, you used to go all over the place, sent all over different factories, because most places were making munitions. Most extraordinary little tiny places, they were making all making these various parts.
Did you have any precautions in the event of Zeppelin raids or air raids?
Any what?
Precautions. For instance, precautions. Did you drive with the headlamps off?
Oh, no. We didn't have anything. Well, I didn't drive late at night there, you see. I was always off by about 6 or 7. No, we didn't have any. Wasn't that, you see? It was in the Second World War we did.
Except one night a week, you were at the arsenal with the
canteen. Yes. You had to do that all night.
Were there any raids?
You were
there?
Working all day, and then you took up your duties from the emergency corps to work all night, then come back to work the next day. So it meant, you know, that time without sleep, you found a little bit heady the next day, but still we did it. We managed it. But we made good, and you see, that's why when the Army Auxiliary Corps came into being, you see, they knew all about us. And I say, I don't know what happened to the other things. I only know that when I went down to St. Leonard's, well, I'd got my certificate, you see, by this time, for the driving, mechanics and driving. And then we went down to St. Leonard's to be inoculated and vaccinated, ready for France. And then, of course, when we got to... Of course, when I was at St. Leonard's, one of the officers spotted me, and she said, "What are you doing in the ranks?" Because, you see, as drivers for the WAC, we were only ranked as Tommies. One of the officers said, "What did you do in the ranks? You come along and help with drill." So, of course, I had to go in and help with drill. But it was rather, you know, it was rather fun. And then, of course, we got to France, and we went into the famous boathouse. I don't know whether you've heard of the boathouse.
Before you get to France, I'm still interested in Woolwich. What was it like at Woolwich? It's an enormous place.
Oh, enormous place. Oh, yes, enormous. I mean, I don't have an... All I know is that we had to drive over railway lines and things like that, you see, and go to... We were so bent on getting to this factory. The only thing that happened while we were at Woolwich was the Zeppelin came over. and hovered right over Woolwich for a time, and then it went on, and it was brought down at Cuffley in Potter's Bar.
Did you see it?
Yeah, did we see it? It dropped some bombs just at Hither Green, not very far. Well, I suppose as the crow flies, I don't know. I suppose it would be about 6 or 8 miles.
What did it look like?
Oh, lovely. Just like a silver cigar. Yes, beautiful. But when it was brought down, it must have been terrific.
Well, you couldn't see that, though.
Oh, we did. We could see right over, yes. We could see it.
Across London?
Yes, yes.
What did that look like when it came down?
A blazing inferno. Mm.
What was
we didn't know where it was, where it had been brought down, until the next day when the papers said where it was.
What was people's reaction when they saw it shot down?
Oh, everyone was so excited. Very, very excited. Because, you see, we hadn't got anything to match it. We only had our pilots with their... They were really biplanes then, you see. They were very, you know, practically not... They had to be very, very, very brave boys, they were then. Very brave.
Who was in command of your canteen at Woolwich? Who directed you?
Well, I think it was Lillian Barker. I think it was Lillian Barker. It must have been Lillian Barker. Because, I mean, she, you know, saw the squads off each time.
She actually came round personally?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. She had short hair. Oh, she looked the part. Lillian Barker. You'd be scared stiff if you saw her, if you saw her in action. She was just the right one to take... To go for a, when we heard that she'd been made governor of a woman's prison, we said, I can just imagine what she'd do.
What did she look like? What sort of build?
Oh, medium build, but short hair, very forthright. Oh yes, very forthright. Oh yes, Lillian Barker. We got the I told you we worked up to a battalion. Then in the WAC, I told you we went to St. Leonard's from there. Then the boathouse.
Oh, yes.
Oh, the boathouse in Boulogne. See, we were drafted from St. Leonard's to the boathouse in Boulogne. We had to stay the night. Everybody, mostly, stayed the night in the boathouse. And the boathouse was infested by rats. The officer in charge used to sleep up on a platform, and we all slept round here. And that night I was so fed up with the people saying, oh, you know, screaming, you know, as people, they were shouting. I said, oh, for heaven's sake, do go to sleep. They said, it's all right for you, you've got one on your bed. I said, well, it's no good shouting, because, I mean, there was just such a lot. You could see the water underneath. Oh, yes, but we all, you know, we slept on what they call biscuits. Oh, yes, but everybody, we were all glad when the morning came, and then we were drafted off, you see, and we were drafted to Calais. See, there were 8 of us, the drivers, and, of course, the reception we got when we got to Calais, we were parked in Queen Mary's camp in the WAC. Of course, then we discovered that we were nobody's children, but we were marched down to the garage, which was 1.25 miles from camp. And they paraded in front of the captain and said, what can you do? And then the works officer, or Lieutenant Walton he was, he said, you, that was me, you, go across to the workshop. I want you to put a new sleeve valve in a Daimler. Yes, sir. Walked across, and if you can imagine it, can you imagine it really? There was me, not little me, big me, there was the Daimler, and all the men promptly left off work, and all sat round. And I picked out, you know, screw by screw, and did it, and I undid it nicely, cleaned it out, did what I had to do, put it back, and it went. Everyone cheered. But of course, they didn't know that that was the very thing that I had to take for my exam in the RAC. That very engine, that very job.
Daimler.
The Daimler. Had anyone else, if they chosen another car, well, I suppose I would have coped, but not as well as I did with that, because it's a very tricky job, putting a new sleeve valve.
And you had only just had the RAC course, hadn't you?
Oh, yes, but I'd been driving before, but I hadn't had, you see, you had to pass for mechanics. It was a real mechanical course.
How long was the course?
I suppose it took 2 or 3 months, I think it was. I really couldn't tell you, but I know it was a stiff one. I know when I was sitting for it, I was 20 minutes before I could start. My hand was shaking, so anyhow I got through. There were cheers when I got through. But it did come in useful. And of course, when we got there, of course, the workshop men were quite all right then. And we were quite all right. But the men didn't quite... Well, you see, it meant that 8 drivers meant that 8 men had got to go further up the line. You see, so of course they didn't like us a bit, first of all. And then one day, at night, for instance, when we arrived, we left camp about 6:15 in the morning, because we had to get down to a mile and a quarter's walk, and we had to get to the garage by 7. And very often we'd find our tyres flat or various things done, you see, and we had to put them right. We didn't say anything, we just grinned and bore it. And then one day I was out on the road going to Santa Maria or somewhere, and I find a general's car was, stopped by the roadside, and naturally chauffeur goes to drive to speak to chauffeur. And I said to him, well, what's the matter? So he said, I don't know. We've sent for a breakdown lorry. He said, I don't know what it is. I've tried everything. So I said, do you mind if I have a look? So he said, you can, but you won't be able to do anything. I'm sure of that. And at that time, we wore long hair and we had invisible hairpins, you know. So, of course, I got out one of my hairpins and I start fiddling about. And to this day, I don't know what I did. I suppose a bit of sand or something must have been in the one of the jets of the carburetor or something like that. I don't know, really. Anyhow, I wound it up and it went. That same night, there was a cup of milk left for me. Oh. So then we were really on, really getting to know each other. And as the men gradually had to go up, they didn't mind it so much then. We were all then, we were a very, very friendly garage. We've got, you know, the whole lot. Our sergeant major was a lovely one for language, but still we got over that. A real sergeant major.
What was your camp like at Calais? What were the living conditions like?
Well, our camp, we lived in a Nissen hut.
All 8 of you together?
8 of us, oh yes, yes. And a block at the bottom with basins in, no running water, but so we had a stack pipe outside which we used to go and get the water. And of course when it froze, we used to go and collect the snow and melt it over. We had, in those days, you could get what you call Tommy's cookers. They were 6 pence each, methylated things, and you burnt those. And we used to melt the snow, see, and wash in that. Or fill our hot water. We used to fill our hot water bottles at night with that because it was the only comfort we had.
Was there no heat?
No heat, no. There were stoves there, but no heat.
What sort of stoves? Coal?
Well, they were round. I suppose they burnt coal. I never saw them alight, so I mean, they were there. I don't know whether it was for show or not. I don't know, but still, we had those, and we slept. You know, but, and of course it was quite a picnic, you know. One girl used to walk in her sleep, one girl snored, another one spoke in her sleep. Oh. So we used to take it in turns to go and shake them.
Did you have separate cubicles or were you?
No. We
did you have proper beds or were they?
Biscuits. We had, you know, things and biscuits and blankets, which you used to have to make up in the morning. And, of course, the ones, because we were, as I tell you, we were nobody's children, really. We were too early. You see, the majority of the staff there, it was, well, there were hundreds in that camp, but...
Men and women?
Or no, 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 only? Women, the WACs. But, you see, most of them were signallers or clerks or domestic staff. And, you see, it didn't open until... There were no breakfasts until 8 o'clock. Well, we were off, you see, by just after 6. So, really, we were too early for breakfast and too late for supper at night.
So what did you do about that?
We used to give at the sergeant's mess down at the... We did have a little stove. We had a hut for ourselves down at the garage just for the girl drivers. And we had a little stove on that so that we used to make a cup of tea in the morning. But if, by any chance, we were home at lunchtime, which was not very often, we used to give a franc a week to the sergeant's mess, and they used to let us have a meal. But, you see, we were never all in at once. We were just one would come in, another one would come in, another one would go out, because we were some in the pool, some were regular drivers. I was a regular driver for the DADT for 4 months.
What does that mean?